Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, happy weekend. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along. Welcome to another Focus on Community. By the way, don't forget, if you missed part of today's program or you wonder, what'd they say again? You can always find the podcast of this program on our website. Click there and you can download or stream it live on the internet and whatever is convenient for you. Our guest today is Bill Watson, who is the Director of Court Services here in Vigo County. Bill, how you doing today?
I'm good, thanks.
So I guess, what is court services? I mean, is that somebody who changes the light bulbs or what? Describe your position for us, for a lot of folks who don't understand what it is you do.
As Director of Court Services, I oversee and work with the department heads on day-to-day operations with adult and juvenile probation, the pretrial program, and also as service director of the community corrections program.
Okay, so community corrections does fall under your purview then as you watch it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you basically are kind of the one who oversees the people who aren't in jail, right? Is that how that works?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and how do you come to terms with that? I mean, is that something that the judge tells you what to do, or are there certain things that are already kind of lined out in law? Give us a little bit of a background on your department and how you run it.
With community corrections per se, everyone that ends up in our programs come here as a result of sentencing from the court, either by a plea agreement or by a direct sentence of some manner. They're sentenced into one of our programs that they're evaluated for, be it work release or home detention, and then the courts are submitted a report. They request this report, and then they, along with the prosecutor and the attorneys for the defendant, will make the decision on where they think they're going to go and what program they're going to put them in if they stay in a community-based program.
And this is something that there's a lot of demand for. I doubt if you guys have a lot of time to sit around. You're in high demand, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a local alternative to jail and prison for people, but at the same time, they're serving their sentences while they're remaining a part of the community where they find jobs, get treatment services, those types of things.
And these are low-level type offenders, right?
Well, they're low and moderate. We do have some high, but it's kind of a gamut across the board, really.
And when they come through your program, like I said, I imagine there's more demand for your services than there are people to provide, right?
Yeah, there's a demand. The key thing with any of the community-based programs is making sure that you get appropriate people in them. Not everyone is appropriate for community-based programming. You know, that may be their violence level or their history or some other things that wouldn't make them right for a home detention or work release program or even probation along those lines.
How hard is it to get the folks that are in your program to actually kind of cooperate and do what they're supposed to? Because, you know, I mean, a lot of folks out here on the outside, we all sit here and look and we automatically assume. And doing that is wrong because none of us really have any idea what you have to deal with on a daily basis. So what are these offenders like? Are they easy to get turned around, or how does it all work?
They're a challenge, obviously, simply looking at it from the perspective of they're here because they violated the law in some manner. They've committed a criminal act. So they're not people that traditionally follow all of the everyday rules and laws of society. So they present challenges, and those challenges often come because of various reasons. They could have mental health issues, addiction issues. It could be their social environments that they've grown up in and came from. Some of them, believe it or not, respond very quickly and easily to what you're trying to do for them and make those turns. And some are challenging and make the turns, and then some, unfortunately, do not make the turns, and then they no longer stay a part of community-based programs. They go on to jail or to the Indiana Department of Corrections.
When we've talked before in the community about building the new county jail, one of the things that a lot of folks brought up was the fact that we need more programs like what you provide. Is that true?
We can always use more programs and services, absolutely, as long as they're appropriate for what you want to do. And we have a lot of programs now. I mean, and the public may not realize it a lot of times because they're not a part of the system. If you're not in the criminal justice system, then you don't really you don't really think about those things. I mean, we have problem-solving courts. Our courts all operate: a drug court, a mental health court, a vet court, a family problem-solving court. So, I mean, you know, those are specialized courts that the judges run. And then, you know, we have our other programs, community corrections with work release, home detention, probation, pretrial. So there's a lot of alternatives that we're currently operating. People just don't realize it because they're not a part of the correctional system.
Yeah, I was told by a couple of sheriffs over the past several years that have served here in Vigo County that the biggest clientele in the county jail, they're there due to drugs. Is that what you see as well, or are there other problems that we don't see?
No, most of the people have some type of addiction. You know, some of their addictions are worse than others, you know, depending on the level of usage and how long. Mental health is a huge factor, too, and it runs in conjunction with that substance abuse sometimes. You know, those are a very challenging population that the mental health system will eventually determine maybe dual diagnosis. So that's the one who has a mental health issue and an addiction issue. So, you know, that's even more of a challenge to work with those people. So, yeah, I think the addiction issue or the drug issue is there, but it combines with other things as well.
Kind of a chicken or egg type of question. Which comes first, the mental health issues or the drug addictions?
That would probably be depending on who you ask that question, but most people will say that they think mental health issues are the beginning, and then people try to deal with their mental health issues by substance abuse. That's where you end up with the dual diagnosis people.
All right. As far as getting all those that need to be in your programs in, I mean, you're getting them taken care of, right? But I'm sure it's demanding.
Yeah, we're getting them in, you know, and it is demanding. And, you know, our current climate affects that somewhat with the whole COVID situation and how we process and bring people into our programs. We've had to change that drastically because of the current situation. So that sometimes slows down our ability to bring them in as quickly, but we're still doing it. And, you know, that hampers the courts and their operations too, the current climate has. So we're getting them in maybe not as fast as we used to, but we're adjusting to that, and we're all getting better at that.
Of course,
pace quicker.
Of course, the new county jail is being built, and what is that going to mean for you guys?
Well, hopefully it doesn't really change anything. We would still be getting the appropriate people in here. You know, we may see some more people. I don't know. But for us, we assume it'll be business as usual. It will just give the jail the ability to do some things that they may not be able to do now because of space issues.
Well, I guess what I was getting at, is this going to give you more space so that way you can have more treatment for issues, mental health or otherwise, that maybe you don't have enough space to accommodate people now?
We may gain a little bit from it. I think the big positive will be the jail will have some space to start doing some of those things before people are released to us that they don't have space to do now. So I think we will benefit in some ways from that with what they can offer in jail that they can't now.
I know you guys are trying to expand some programs. Tell us about what it is you're trying to build on.
Currently with our work release operation, we want to start providing some more, I don't like the word intensive, but we want to provide some more treatment and services that we haven't been able to provide in the past just simply because of resources, funding, addressing the dual diagnosis population, which is a higher risk population that seem to continually rotate in and out of our jail and our court system and our community-based programs until at some point they may go to the Department of Corrections. They finish that sentence and they come right back and start all over again. So we want to start trying to provide them some more services and treatments in a much faster manner that are more direct to their needs right away.
I know that you, of course, will have to supply info like I'm going to ask you about here to a lot of folks in the legal system, police, and then just the general public who want to know, is our money being well spent? Talk about how you guys are cutting down on recidivism at community corrections. I mean, and your other programs there, because obviously when they get out of jail or they go through a program like yours, the goal is to not see them return. I mean, you'd probably love to be able to say that all the people that go through your program, you'll never, ever see again. We know that that's not always the case. So how are you doing?
I think doing what we're doing now, expanding those service opportunities for people and getting them services quicker in a more direct manner will help impact that recidivism. That's the whole goal of intensifying these services in work release, to use that word, because I think sometimes by the time they get to us, it takes us a while to ramp those up because of resources weren't available. Those people tend to violate again because they need mental health treatment or addiction treatment that's not readily available in a timely manner because the system is so overwhelmed. So we think by doing those services and getting them at a much faster rate inside our facility where we have day-to-day operations with them, we can impact that recidivism rate you're talking about and keep some of these people from being rearrested and going back to jail.
Yeah, because obviously they only get, what, one or two times through your outfit, and then after that it's off to the bars.
They get, depending on their situations and their types of crimes, some get more opportunities than others based on what it is. But, yeah, there comes a point that you can only put them through here so many times, and it's like, okay, they need a more restrictive environment now because they're just not taking advantage of what's available to them there to modify or change behavior.
Now, I realize in your job you do a lot of things, and necessarily appealing or persuading the public is probably not the biggest thing on your list because you've got a lot of other more important tasks to deal with. But let's look at that for a second. What's the biggest misconception that the general public has about what you guys do? Because you know as well as I do, there's a lot of people out there that would say, look, they break the law, throw away the key, put them away, and let's be done with it and move on. And you guys are trying to bring these people back to society. So what's the biggest misconception that the general public has?
I think one of the misconceptions is with the community-based programs, oftentimes people think that the county's paying for all those services. They don't pay for all of those. A lot of these things, the offenders pay their own way. They pay their own housing and work release. They buy their own meals. They pay for their own electronic monitoring. Now, granted, the county helps out those people that are indigent, and they have a program to address that. But I think that's one misconception. People don't realize that offenders are actually paying for their own detention services when they're here.
Okay. Well,
and most people don't know that. And when you tell them that, they look at you kind of like you're kidding. But the county does have a fund where they help out those people that truly are indigent that we identify. And the only reason they may be in jail or not in our programs is they don't have the money to do that. Well, the county steps up and helps with that because they're still trying to provide those people the opportunity to change. And none of us want money to be the reason that they can't have that opportunity.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit too. Let's talk bang for the buck, return on investment, ROI. What are we getting? I mean, how successful are you guys? I mean, I know this is something when you go to different government officials and you ask for your funding, you have to show them. So tell us, how good are you guys?
I think we're pretty good. I mean, as far as recidivism rates, you know, that varies all over the place because there is no true definition of recidivism. Whoever you speak to, everyone will give you a different definition. If I want my numbers to look really good here, all I'm going to do is base it on 6 months or a year, and we'll look like five stars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is the longer-term window you have to look at with this population to tell how really good you've been and what your success rates are. And every community calculates them and looks at them differently. For us, we want to restart with the new expansion of services we're doing. I think that's the key point where we really need to get down to our recidivism rates because that will be the first time we're really putting enough resources to it to try to make a difference.
And the more successful you are, the fewer people they're going to be in that shiny new jail we've got.
And that's the whole goal right there, Frank. Keep people out of that jail. We want to make sure if, you know, that we have beds, that they never run out of beds. That's the whole goal.
All right. And as far as when we talk about the people that you serve, are these people that are born into the situations, do they fall into it or do they choose it?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, some it's just how, unfortunately, you know, their environment they're raised in, their structure, their support systems. And then some choose it. I mean, we have some who fall into the correctional system that if you look at their backgrounds and their families, you would think they've always had a very strong, solid support system. They have good education. They just make bad choices. And some people, based on, you know, their backgrounds and where they grew up and how they grew up, some of those choices were never really choices. It was a way of life that was just kind of given to them. So they're battling, how do you get out of that and learn that there's something different? And that's what we have to do with those people. We have to help them understand that there is a better way and there's a different way. But at the same time, we have to hold them accountable too, because they're still serving a punishment for a crime. And that's tough for some people to understand sometimes. You know, yeah, we want to help them, but at the same time, they have to be accountable for what they did.
Here's something that I don't know how many people have thought about this before, but is part of your job maybe not necessarily so much changing the outlook on life of the people that you serve, but also changing the outlook of the general public on the people you serve? Because let's face it, there is a preconceived notion as to what your people are and what they do and who they are, and some folks just don't have anything to do with them. So is that part of the problem too?
Yeah, it is. We have to... Everyone has to understand that wherever these people go, if they go to jail, if they go to prison, or if they go to us, they're eventually going to come back home. This is their community for most of them. They're going to come back. Not very few people go to prison and stay there their whole lives. So we have to, as a community, understand that these are people that are here with us every day. So that's why we need to try to do the things that can make them fit in and be a part of the community. That's not going to happen with everyone. You know, there are no miracles for that. But the community needs to understand these are the same people that may be building their homes, fixing their air conditioning units, serving their food. They live and work in this community, even though they've had some choices that weren't the best ones, and they're being held accountable for that. They're still a part of the community. We want them to be a part of the community without our supervision and without us providing those services for them anymore, that they make those good decisions on their own.
Are you getting as much community support from the general public out here as you would like?
You know, I think during the current climate and stuff, we're getting support. We always could use more, I think. And a lot of that, I believe we need to do a better job of, just like this, educating the public about what we do and what we have in our system. But we have employers, and we have good employers that employ our defendants from our programs, from work release and home detention. And, you know, some of them pay them a very good wage and take good care of them, you know, and some of them give them entry-level jobs to get them started. So from that perspective, we have a support system for sure. And the treatment community, you know, provides services. So I think if you look across the board, it's pretty good. We would always like it to be better, but...
Bill Watson is the Director of Court Services here in Big Oak County. Community Corrections also falls under his purview. And Bill, thanks a lot for being with us today. If you want to miss part of this show, you want to go back and listen to it again, just look for the podcast available for you on our website. And we will see you on next week's edition.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.